We're going to continue our review for our final, but we're going to start off with a word of prayer. Father, I just thank you, Lord God, that this is the day that you have made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. I thank you right now, Lord God, for Ever Increasing Word Training Center. We thank you for Apostle Leroy Thompson Sr., the visionary, Lord God. And we thank you right now, Lord God, for the anointing that's on his life. And as we submit and line ourselves up properly and stay in alignment with the assignment, Lord God, we thank you that we're going to receive every impartation, every revelation that we need to carry out our God-given assignments. And Lord, as always, if the Holy Ghost don't show up in this class session, I'll fall flat on my face. So I'm leaning completely and totally on the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, class, we're going to continue on our review. About middle ways into the first semester, we talked a little bit for about two or three class sessions about pride. And we know that number one, pride goeth before the fall. But pride is an enemy to walking in humility and honor. And so we're going to kind of touch on some things regarding pride and how the enemy, through the spirit of Leviathan, if you remember, we talked about Leviathan, which the words of Leviathan is synonymous with pride, how it's such a deceptive and hard to break stronghold on people who allow pride or Leviathan to get a hold of them. But the only way to be set free of that is by the Spirit of God. All right, so let me go ahead and start. A person that is influenced by the spirit of pride or the spirit of Leviathan, they will demonstrate three clear characteristics. Their first characteristic is going to be stubbornness. They're going to be very stubborn. A person who's operating in the spirit of pride, they're going to be stubborn. They're not going to want to move. They're not going to want to change. They're not flexible. A person who's stubborn, they're kind of stiff-necked and stubborn, and they're set in their ways, and a lot of times they don't even listen to reason. So the first is stubborn. The second one is actually inflexibility, because if you're stubborn, you're kind of set in your ways. If you're inflexible, that means you're not going to bend. You're not going to change. You're not going to be to roll with the situation. And the third one is going to be a hardness of heart. A person who's operating in the spirit of pride, they're going to have a hard heart. In other words, a heart that's not pliable. You know, the Bible always talks about us guarding our heart. But a person who's operating in the spirit of pride, if you remember, we used the illustration of Leviathan as being like a sea monster, a slithering sea monster that can crawl itself around from a figurative point of view. But it crawls itself around you where you can't break free. And then there's a hardness there, there's a stubbornness there, and there's an inflexibility there. But anyway, a person who is operating in that spirit, those three characteristics, stubbornness, inflexibility, and hardness of heart, are going to be characteristic of a person operating in the spirit of pride. Okay, the only way to defeat the spirit of Leviathan or pride is by God's anointing and humbly recognizing that you are powerless without Jesus. That's so very important that we understand that. When you recognize your inabilities and your insufficiencies and that you are powerless without Jesus, then now when you recognize and acknowledge that, the spirit of God can come in and break that spirit of pride, that spirit of stubbornness, inflexibility, you know, and hardness of heart away from a person. Because it even talks about that spirit as being very callous, very cold, like a shell, like you can't penetrate it. I've seen people who got offended. A lot of times offense also is very prevalent when a person who's walking in pride, because they'll get offended and it's hard for them to get over that offense. Always use the illustration to never let the sun go down on your wrath. You know, always get it straight, because the longer you let an offense sit, the harder it is to release it and to let it go. But And that's where you humbly let it go and you walk in godly humility, which kind of is going to bring us to our next point. In Proverbs 18 and 12, it says, before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty. In other words, before the fall or the destruction of an individual, his heart is haughty. Haughty meaning is just, you know, it's got those characteristics of stubbornness. It's got that characteristic of inflexibility and hardness of heart. That heart is very haughty. But before honor is humility. And that's so very important. Before honor is going to be humility. So when you begin to walk in the spirit of humility, and I stated it, you know, several times last semester, never associate humility with weakness. A lot of times when you see a person, they say that person is very humble or humble. They try to associate it with that person's being a pushover. You can get over them. And that's kind of the world's definition. But from a spiritual point of view, a person who walks in godly humility is a person that submits to the will of God and submits to the leading of the Holy Spirit, because they humbly acknowledging the fact that I can't do it on my own. I have insufficiencies, I have frailties, I have insecurities, but when I release that and I cast all of that over on the Lord, you know, and I let pride go, and now I'm walking in godly humility, well, now I'm allowing the Spirit of God to come in and to replace my inadequacies with his all-sufficiency, to replace my weakness with his everlasting strength, replace my fear with his godly courage and stamina and ability, you know, replace my uncertainty with confidence and success, you know, because God will take the base things, the weak things, those people who acknowledge their frailties and recognizes that I'm powerless without God. When he sees us operating in that godly humility, before honor comes humility. So the next thing, when you begin to operate in that godly humility, then honor is going to be knocking at the door. And this is Proverbs 18 and 12, which says, before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty, and before honor is humility. So you want to always remember and the importance of godly humility, you know. And along with godly humility is walking in with a yielded spirit, yielding unto God. Whenever you yield, you're giving God the right of way to manifest himself in your life. It's not by power and it's not by might, but it's by his spirit. But in order for it to be by his spirit, we must know how to humbly yield. Give him the right of way. Lord, I don't know what to do, but guess what, Lord? My eyes are on you. And then wait upon the Lord. The Bible says that those people who wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Why? Because there is an exchange that takes place. God takes your weaknesses, your inadequacies, and your inabilities, and he exchanges it for his weakness, for his strength, for his ability, his courage, you know, all that God is, all that God can do, manifest itself in your life when you acknowledge, you know, your insufficiencies, because there's an exchange, like I said, that takes place. And that's what God wants us to do. All of these are attributes of somebody who's walking in honor. Moses told God, he says, I don't even know. I can't even speak, Lord. I don't know what to say or how to do it, you know. And he said, what should I tell the people when I go before them? He said, tell them that I am sent you. You know, I am that I am. You know, all through the Bible, God used people who acknowledge their insufficiencies, but in the process, they took on God's sufficiency and God's ability. And you see, pride says, I don't need no help. Pride says, I can do this on my own. Pride says, I can do this in my own ability. But whenever you're serving and you're living for God, and God's called you in the fivefold ministry, you have to, number one, acknowledge. One of the things I always try to do, but I don't try to do it, I do it by design. Whenever I minister, I'm always acknowledging headquarters, always acknowledging my spiritual father, always acknowledging Apostle Thompson, always acknowledging Word of Life Christian Center. And then I always acknowledge the Holy Spirit. In most cases, you know, Holy Spirit, if you don't show up, I'll fall flat on my face. Why? Because I'm not relying on my own abilities. I'm not relying on my own adequacies, you know, because I know I have inadequacies. I may split verbs, I may forget a phrase or misquote a scripture, you know, but when the anointing kicks in, and you see, that's what you want, you know. People who operate in honor and operate in godly humility, they're waiting on the anointing to kick in. You know, when the anointing kicks in and the glory kicks in, well, then you just sit back and let God be God. And all of a sudden now, whatever comes out, comes out. Because it's not you, but it's Him working through you. You want to be a vessel that God's power, that God's ability, that all that God is, all that God can do, shows forth through you. You know, but God is looking for a yielded vessel. But He can't get a yielded vessel when there's pride, when there's arrogance, when there's haughtiness. Those attributes can't, God can't work with those. You know, one of the six things God hates is a prideful look. You know, when you go in the book of Proverbs, I think it is, you know, a prideful look, you know. But when you go with godly humility and you recognize that He's in control, you can't help but operate in godly success, godly victory. Amen. You know, always I acknowledge God. Acknowledge your spiritual father. Acknowledge your pastor. You know, let what's on them come on you so that now you're not operating in your own ability, but you're operating in the ability of God. Amen, as it flows through you. All right, the first way to come against the spirit of dishonor is simply to sow a seed of this, sow a seed of honor. The first way to come against the spirit of dishonor. In other words, if you recognize or come to a realization that you've been walking in some area of dishonor, dishonoring your parents, not honoring your man of God like you should, you know, any area of dishonor, the first way to overcome dishonor is to now begin to sow seeds of, of honor into that individual or into that situation. Because you want to reverse it. You want to reverse it. You know, if you hadn't been doing something that you know you need to do, you need to reverse it and start sowing. Start sowing properly. Start serving properly. You know, start whatever your hand finds to do, start doing those things. And that'll reverse dishonor. You know, that'll reverse it, and that'll actually bring it to a screeching halt in your life. And before long, it's going to be a matter of you operating in honor. That's so very important that we always, under every situation, operate in the spirit of honor. Amen. All right. Another thing we talked about was there are six levels of showing honor. And we talked about the six levels. I'm not going to get into the sixth level, but one of the things I want to point out is the first level of showing honor is, number one, is to honor God. When you honor God, the other areas of honoring God, honoring your parents, honoring the elderly, honoring the fivefold ministry gifts, those things will fall in place. But number one and primarily, you need to honor God. The Bible says, honor the Lord with the first fruits of thy increase. Acknowledge Him in all of your ways, and He will direct your path. You know, putting God first. You want to always put God first in everything that you do. I don't like making a step without first acknowledging God and getting his direction. The Bible says that if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that give it to all men liberally and unabraded not, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. You know, so, you know, in that first level of showing honor, the first thing you must do is to honor God. This out of those six levels of honor. Amen. Always honor God. Always give God. Acknowledge him. That keeps you in godly humility when you acknowledge God and you seek in his face, because it's really not about you, but it's all about you doing the will of God for your life. You honoring God, you honoring your man of God, you walking in the spirit of honor. One thing I learned is that you never learn anything from what you got to say. Whenever you're conversing or talking or sharing things, or you're in the forefront, when you're doing the speaking, your learning process is zero. But when you allow others to speak into your life and hear what thus said the Lord through your pastor, your apostle, or those who have rank above you, there's always going to be a learning element involved, a growing, a maturing element. One of the things I always try to do is to study to be quiet. When I'm around other ministers and people who have rank, or who are, you know, have notoriety of reputation, which is all honor, I try to listen and hear what they have to say. The Bible says to be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Those are all principles of humility. Quick to hear. In other words, I hear what's being said. I hear what the Spirit of God is being saying. Quick to hear. Slow to speak. Don't always open your mouth so much. A lot of times it's good just to be quiet, because sometimes when you open your mouth, people realize how much you really don't know. But if you never say anything, and if you just listen and absorb it, you're taking in information. You're taking in revelation. You're taking in, you know, things that you might need or did not know. And that's a form of humility. And before honor comes humility. So, you know, that's so very important that we understand that, you know. Let's move on. In a situation where you have a father who gets uncovered. Now, we're talking in the situation, remember Noah and his three sons, and when Noah was drunk and he was uncovered in his tent. Okay, in a situation where you have a father that uncovered himself and falls into sin, and the son speaks badly about the uncovering of their father, this act opens the door for the dishonor, the curse, and the sin their father has initiated to also come upon them. So the key here is to never put your mouth on a man of God. Never say anything disrespectful. I used the illustration several times, and I remember Kenneth Hagin used to say this: if I can't say nothing good about a person, I will not say a word. They'll ask me something about him, I'll tell them, yes, I know him, but I'm not going to speak the negative. You know, but here in this particular scripture, or this particular point here, it says, in a situation when you have a father, a spiritual father, you know, or even a natural father, that uncovers himself and falls into sin, and the son who sees the sin speaks badly about the uncovering or the sin of their father, this act opens the door. When you speak badly about it, that act opens the door for that same sin to come upon you. You know, that same dishonor, that same sin, and that same curse. I've seen that physically happen to people. You know, if you're not in the business of trying to restore them back to their former state, the worst thing you can do now is to put your mouth on it and to gossip and to complain and to point fingers. Because whenever you pointing one finger at somebody, there's 3 to 4 fingers pointing back at you. And I've seen people who think they're trying to do some good by their criticism and by their comments, by, you know, exposing the inadequacies, the insufficiencies, and the indiscretions of somebody, instead of trying to go to them, restore them, to where the only people who know about it is them, the Lord, and the person involved, you know, they're gossiping about it. So they're spreading, you know, bad press. And what happens now, that same dishonor, that same, you know, sin, that same curse that's on them, it turns upon you. And I, like I said, I've seen that happen to where men I know trying to do good, but doing it in the wrong way by putting their mouth on somebody who they don't need to be putting their mouth on, either left their pastor and got involved, started a ministry somewhere else in another city. You know, that same sin that was in this particular instance, it was a sin of adultery. That same sin that they walked away from and criticized and commented on and spread, spread the gossip on, end up turning on them. And, you know, within a matter of 2 to 3 years, they were involved in the same, you know, they were in the same boat. Whatever sins, the scripture says that you remit shall be remitted unto you, but whatever sins you retain are going to be retained. In other words, if you don't remit it and let it go, loose it and let it go, you know, take your mouth off of it, move on with your life, help to restore. And if I can't help a situation, I'm definitely not going to hinder it. See, that's where the honor part comes in. The author talks about situations where his one of his spiritual fathers, there was a disagreement or something that took place, but he never spoke badly about his spiritual father. He never dishonored or disgraced his spiritual father. He had to kind of stay from a distance because of the situation, but eventually that situation turned and he was able to help restore and bring his spiritual father back to the place that he needed to be. But if he would have been speaking wrongly, acting wrongly in that situation, his outcome wouldn't have been nearly as good. He said his ministry, after it was all over, began to blossom and flourish. And it was only because of the way he handled the situation. Amen? So that's very, very important. Okay? Let me move on. When you honor the laws of the land, you are giving tribute, because whatever country you are in, you become subject to the tax structure and the governmental, the civil governments of that land. Now, this is in an event where you're traveling and you're ministering abroad, or ministering in a foreign land, or an area where the customs are different. You want to all, the Bible says to give tribute to whom tribute is due. And I had the scripture that I wanted to read here in regard to that. This is Romans chapter 13. I'm going to read verse 7. It says, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. Then it says in verse 8, it says, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. So you want to render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. So you want to render or give those people who are worthy of honor, honor. Give those who are worthy of tribute. And when you're in another country, the customs and the rituals of that country may be different from America. So you need to know the custom and the traditions of that land so that you don't dishonor the land and dishonor the people of the land. Because one of the things the author says, when you dishonor the land and dishonor the people of another country, even how greatly anointed you might be, because you dishonor them, they're not going to receive you. Your anointing levels will go all the way down because you violated the principle of giving tribute to whom tribute is due. You know, you violated the principle of giving custom because of their custom to whom custom is due. You know, give you an illustration. Suppose you went to Saudi Arabia and you're a female minister, you have a husband. In Saudi Arabia, it's customary for the female to walk behind the husband and to keep her head covered. You know, but if you disobey their customs and their traditions, you disrespect them. And even though your ministry might be greatly anointed and worldwide, because you disrespected their customs and their traditions, you won't be heard. You won't be given a voice. Why? Because of dishonor. You know, but when you go and you honor the customs of the land, honor their traditions. I'll never forget when Apostle went to, I think it was somewhere in South America. I can't remember the exact country, but I remember one of his MVBs, Bishop Dan Robinson, flew in early to kind of lay out the scope of the land and see what the climate was and what the traditions and what the customs, what the tribute was. So when Apostle got there, he could brief him on what was the protocol. And see, you know, getting back to one of the things I always talk about, you know, ranks, levels, and protocol. There's always a different protocol that has to be followed based on where you're at. And it's just a matter of just honoring the land, honoring the people of that land, honoring the government of that land, you know. So that way they you're not disrespecting them. And when you respect them and respect their customs, they're more easily, readily to receive you and to receive your ministry. Amen? All right. Keeping in that same vein, showing fear or reverence to those God has placed in authority is showing honor to those dignitaries of that land. Knowing the ranks that God has set in place in a particular region is so important so that you don't dishonor those that God set in place, or people who are set in place by God. So showing fear, that word fear doesn't mean a scary or fearful type of fear. It's a reverential fear. So it says showing fear or reverence to those God placed in authority. I have a godly fear for my man of God. I have a godly fear for Apostle Thompson. You know, I reverence him. I respect him. I honor him because I know that the anointing of God is on his life. God has sent him to be a blessing to me. And so when you show fear or reverence to those that, to those God has set in place or in authority, is honoring the dignitaries of the land. Even if, like, so you go into a country and there's a president or there's a prime minister or whoever is in charge. Whenever I go to minister on behalf of Word of Life, which is the only time I go to minister, I will not go and minister if I don't go on behalf of Word of Life or with the blessing of my man of God. I always give honor or fear or reverence to who is in authority. I first find out who is in authority here, who is in rank, who can I go to and submit myself to, letting them know that I'm here as an ambassador, as a representative of Dr. Leroy Thompson Sr., Apostle Leroy Thompson Sr., and you know, whatever I can do, if it's a funeral, I'm here on behalf of the family members. I name the family members, and you know, I'm basically at your disposal. Whatever you need me to do, I'm here. And there's times I've done that, and it was right before the processional where the family was coming in. This was during the what they call the used to call a wake service, now it may be called a viewing, but it happened at night. And he said, well, we're going in, said, just walk right here on the side of me, and you know, we'll go up to the altar, and I want you to do the opening prayer. So I walked with him, I followed him up on the pulpit, he directed me to a seat, and I stood up. As he stood up, I didn't sit down until he sat down, And then when he beckoned for me to go and do the opening prayer, I got up. The Lord had given me a scripture. I got up and I read the scripture. But if I don't went there with a different mindset or with pride or with arrogance and not respect him, not respect that this is his church and I'm submitted to him, I would have probably had a seat in the back of the church. You know, but because I went and I found who was in rank and who was in authority and submitted myself to them, that number one, that'll let someone know that you've had some proper training. You're not some young upstart who thinks they know it all. You know, even though you may be more knowledgeable, more anointed than the person that you're submitting to, has nothing to do with it. You know, it's about respect and it's about honor. Amen. All right, and we're almost done. I'm just trying to cover some key points here and make a little bit more, give you a little bit more filler or information in what fear is. Like I said, it's not a scary fear. It's a reverential fear. You know, I reverence, like I said, Apostle Thompson. You know, when he says, I need you here at a certain time, that's a mandate, and I'm going to be there. If he says, I need for you to do such and such, Greg, can you go see about so and so? Report back to me. When I'm given an assignment, it's like a sergeant or, you know, or a commanding officer given a private, you know, an assignment to carry it out. And one of the things I always try to do is to carry out my assignment. That in itself is giving honor to whom honor is due. You know, never make excuses. One of the things Apostle always would say, excuses are the crutches of the uncommitted. I'm going to say that again. Never make excuses, because excuses are the crutches of the uncommitted. If you're committed, you don't make an excuse. You just get the job done. Or if you didn't get the job done, I'm not going to give you an excuse. I just didn't do what I should have done. You know, forgive me. I'll make an effort to do much better the next time, sir. And leave it at that. Don't make excuses. All right? All right, let's move on. Okay, honor grows generations of blessings upon your legacy. Dishonor will castrate generational destiny. That's a true statement. Honor grows generations of blessing upon your legacy, upon your lineage, upon your family, your children, and your children's children. Dishonor will castrate or cut off generational destiny, generational blessing, generational wealth. You know, honor grows the generations. I see it in my family. You know, from my dad to myself to my children, you know, respecting elders, learning the lessons, growing from them and building upon them. One of the things I remember my natural father told me, he said, I expect you to be able to advance farther than I ever did. I want you to learn from my mistakes and to learn from my victories and to move forward and build upon the foundation that I started and build a bigger and a better foundation. Apostle is no different. You know, he wants us to move forward from where he is and build upon the legacy and the generational blessing that God has blessed him with, and we take that to another level. And when you honor properly, honor those who God has placed before you, and you submit properly, you yield, you serve, you know, you get in alignment properly, well, then now it opens the door for the blessing to come upon your life. And not only just your life, but the lives of you and your children's children after you. Honor carries a strong amount of weight and volume over the generations, because it's something that's not only just taught, but it's caught. Okay, I'm gonna say this again. It's not only something that's taught where I'm teaching you about it, but you got to catch it. You catch it with your spirit. You catch it, when I say your spirit, you catch it, and you get a, a revelation and insight about what it's all about. That's one of the reasons why I kind of drill the same things over and over again, because I want you to catch it. I want you to catch the essence of it. You know, not just knowing it is really not enough. A lot of people know stuff, but they don't operate in it. Just because you know it don't mean that you're perfected in it, or you're proficient in it. You know, certain things in the area of honor needs to be automatic. It just flows out of you without hesitation, without insufficiency, without you thinking about it. It's just, I know this is what I have to do. There have been times when God placed men before me, I knew I needed to sow. There were times when I'm working on a project, I know I need to sow. It's because I've caught it, I've used it, and I've seen the blessing in previous years, so I know if I want to keep that blessing, to keep that anointing, keep that flow going in my life, I got to keep doing what I know I need to do in the area of honor. Because honor will grow the generations. Dishonor will castrate your destiny. Honor will grow the generations. Dishonor will castrate your destiny. And if you want honor, you need to sow it. You need to understand the principles of honor, and recognizing that, you know, honor is reciprocation, and what somebody has put in you, you now need to reciprocate that. You know, you can't just knowing it is not enough. You need to express it. You need to display it, and it needs to be automatic. Amen. All right, let me move on. All right, and this one here, which is the last one we're going to go over, is going to almost sound like something we said last week, but it has an added element to it. The greatest seed that one can sow is an honor seed. We know that. But one way to show honor towards your spiritual father is by walking in the revelation knowledge that he is releasing, and by having physical manifestations in your life from the spiritual truths your spiritual father has taught you, and pass those truths on to others. That's where the generational legacy starts. When you begin to walk in the spiritual truths that your spiritual father, your pastor, has taught you, you see manifestation take place in your life, but now you're passing that on to the next generation. You know, you're passing that on to others. That is so important. Alexi, stop. I have 2 minutes left. You know, I know you probably have heard me several weeks. I got a timer on Alexi here. That's because, so that I can continue to walk in honor. I know that I'm given so many minutes to minister, and I don't want to go over. It'll be operating in dishonor if I say, well, I'm going to take me another 5 minutes. I've seen ministers do that and never minister again under apostle. You know, so one thing I learned is if you're given a certain time frame, that time frame needs to be stuck with. You know, I got a second timer right here on my little table here that you can't see. It's telling me I got 1 minute and 6 seconds. So in 1 minute and 6 seconds, I need to shut it down. That's operating in honor. That's knowing the rules, knowing the regulations, knowing the protocol, and sticking with the agenda. Because your spiritual father needs to know that he can trust you. So when he's gone and he puts you in a position where now you're in a position of authority and you're operating in his stead, he know you're going to operate and flow just the way he did. You know, there were times I'm ministering. I remember one time I was ministering from the pulpit. I'm looking at my seconds now, 27 seconds. And I was just gone, and the anointing was flowing. I looked up at the clock. The clock said 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I said, I just counted it down, 0. And then I said, amen. And after I said amen, I was done. And with 7 seconds left, I'm done. I'll see you next week.